one might ask, how do we, this matter of the thoughts and the matter of keeping our minds from corrupting influences. And one of the dangers, I think, that we can make the mistake of thinking is that my life is to be then the rehearsal of verses. And it's nothing bad with that, by the way. That's a good thing. But I think Philippians 4 gives us some very helpful guidelines to appreciate this matter of how to guard our thoughts. Philippians 4, and it's always interesting how we always have to start with whose we are, under whose command we are. We belong to the Lord. He is our director. He's our leader. He is our guide. He is the supplier of everything that we need. And so he starts out with, be anxious for nothing, verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He brings us first into the understanding that everything that matters, matters to God. Everything that matters to us, matters to God. And so he says, bring everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to God. It's living in the atmosphere, living in the understanding that my life comes from him. I was given life by him. And so my whole mindset, my whole disposition is first and foremost to him. How does that work in real life? Some might know a famous radio teacher. He would say, you know, when the phone rings, before you answer the phone, you whisper a prayer and say, Lord, I don't know what this call is about. Give me what is necessary to take it. It's the idea that every part of my existence is under the eye of God, and I want to be responsive to that. And then he goes on to say, so that the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it's firstly having this whole disposition of understanding that we belong to God, and God is very interested about every detail of our experience and of our lives. And we reach out to him in prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. I know I want to emphasize it with thanksgiving because very often we do the prayer and supplication. We are always asking God for things. But how about just pausing to realize that his sovereign care and love for us is always on us. And so there's always something to be thankful for. And to find it, and to express it. And then he says, your minds will be kept through Christ Jesus. The risen, the mediatorial ministries of Christ that we had yesterday. The Christ Jesus, he is there on our behalf. It's an amazing verse in John 17 when the Lord Jesus Christ said, I sanctify myself for their behalf. He has set himself apart on account of those who would believe on him through the apostles' word. And then Paul gives us these very practical things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. That's a measure that we use to evaluate the very things that come into our experience. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if any praiseworthy, or if anything be any praise, think on these things. So he gives us this great measure by which we can look at whatever it is that we see. So we can appreciate art, we can appreciate beauty, we can appreciate things that have virtue, things that are just, things that are right, things that are lovely. We can take those things in and see that as God's beneficence for the sustenance of man. And we can enjoy those things and think of those things. So we can go to the garden, or the botanical gardens, or to the zoo, and see the amazing handiwork of God as illustrated in these things. Or see the gifts and talents that are used to display these kinds of virtuous realities. We fill our minds with those things as well. And then he says, the things which we have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, that the God of peace be with you. And then it's coupled with and anchored in the doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. It's so valuable to see beyond just the narrow scope and to realize that there are things that we can use as guidelines to measure the things that come into our minds.
As you were saying that, I was thinking of verse 7, the same chapter. It says, "And the peace of God will pass through understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And it sees here that the heart and the mind is linked. And it says the heart first and then the mind. And it makes me think about the affections, how our affections, what we, you know, who's our object? Do we really love the Lord? And that's, you know, I think that where all things come out of, right, is the affection of the heart. You know, where our treasure is, he says, where your heart is, that's where your heart will be also. Also, it talks about, you know, what defiles a person is not what goes in, but what comes out. You know, what's in our hearts. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and mouth, and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, what I want to encourage us today is that, you know, how is our affection towards the Lord Jesus Christ? I think if we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing he showed was love. If we look at his obedience in Philippians chapter 2, the first thing that comes out, I think, he talks about love. It says, you know, be of the same love, of the same mind. And I think it's affection, our heart, how we treat others. The love of Christ should control us, should constrain us, the way we act. And I think if we have this in view, our thoughts and our minds will be in the right frame of mind. And I think that's encouragement for us, is that we should look at what's in our heart. If we look at what's in our heart, that's where the thoughts and all these intentions come from. You know what I'm saying? So we should be encouraged that, you know, as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have the same love that he had. If we have that same love, we'll have his thoughts, and his thoughts will control us, you know what I'm saying, and constrain us as we walk this Christian walk.
So in Romans 6, where we just read, that's an interesting passage, because we talked about that a little bit yesterday. But in Romans 6, it says you have a vein from the heart, form of doctrine delivered unto you. And so this doctrine is the gospel, and the gospel of God. And the gospel of God is not just something that's preached on the street or in the meeting hall. It's the gospel for the saint. The believers need the gospel of God. We need it in our daily experience. And so it's interesting, as we heard, it was a matter of obedience and faith, but it's a matter of obeying from the heart. It's not just an intellectual thing, obedience. This obedience to God's message and God's truth, God's gospel, is a matter of the heart. So it has to be something that is connected with our inner being. The springs, our hearts are where our springs come from, the springs of our, and the motives for what we do. And so obeying from the heart is the key issue. Barnabas, I believe, exhorted the saints in Antioch to cleave unto the Lord with purpose of heart. So it's not just an intellectual assent. It's actually being engaged in my inside of my being with this marvelous truth that God has given. This doctrine, this teaching he's given to us is absolutely, it's very liberating. It's liberating from this sin that so easily besets us. It's liberating from the world and its influence. It's liberating from all the things that would keep us from this true knowledge of God. And so may the Lord truly help us to know this, that this is really what it's about, being engaged in the heart with the obedience to his gospel. Mm-hmm.